by consciousness. The fact, however, that dream formation is based on a process of condensation stands indubitable. How then is this condensation brought about? If it be considered that of those dream thoughts which are found, only the smallest number are represented in the dream by means of one of its ideal elements, it might be concluded that condensation is accomplished by means of ellipsis, in that the dream is not an accurate translation or a projection point by point of the dream thoughts, but a very incomplete and defective reproduction of them. This view, as we shall soon find, is a very inadequate one. But let us take it as a starting point for the present, and ask ourselves, if only a few of the elements of the dream thoughts get into the dream content, what conditions determine their choice? In order to gain enlightenment on this subject, let us turn our attention to those elements of the dream content which must have fulfilled the conditions we are seeking. A dream to the formation of which an especially strong condensation has contributed will be the most suitable material for this investigation. I select the dream of the botanical monograph. Dream content. I have written a monograph upon an obscure certain plant. The book lies before me. I am just turning over a folded coloured plate. A dried specimen of the plant is bound with every copy as though from a herbarium. The most prominent element of this dream is the botanical monograph. This comes from the impressions received on the day of the dream. I had actually seen a monograph on the genus Cyclamen in the show window of a bookstore. The mention of this genus is lacking in the dream content, in which only the monograph and its relation to botany have remained. The botanical monograph immediately shows its relation to the work on cocaine which I had once written. Thought connections proceed from cocaine on the one hand to a Festschrift, and on the other to my friend, the eye specialist, Dr. Koenigstein, who has had a share in the utilization of cocaine. Moreover, with the person of this Dr. Koenigstein is connected the recollection of the interrupted conversation which I had had with him on the previous evening, and of the manifold thoughts about remuneration for medical services among colleagues. This conversation, then, is properly the actual stimulus of the dream. The monograph about cyclamen is likewise an actuality, but of an indifferent nature. As I soon see, the botanical monograph of the dream turns out to be a common mean between the two experiences of the day, and to have been taken over unchanged from an indifferent impression and bound up with a psychologically significant experience by means of the most abundant associations. Not only the combined idea botanical monograph, however, but also each of the separate elements, botanical and monograph, penetrates deeper and deeper into the confused tangle of the dream thoughts. To botanical belong the recollections of the person of Professor Gärtner, German, Gärtner, Gardner, of his blooming wife, of my patient whose name is Flora, and of a lady about whom I told the story of the forgotten flowers. Gärtner, again, is connected with the laboratory and the conversation with Koenigstein. The mention of the two female patients also belongs to the same conversation. A chain of thoughts, one end of which is formed by the title of the hastily seen monograph, leads off in the other direction from the lady with the flowers to the favourite flowers of my wife. Besides this, botanical recalls not only an episode at the gymnasium, but an examination taken while I was at the university, and a new subject matter, my hobbies, which was broached in the conversation already mentioned, is connected by means of my humorously so-called favourite flower, the artichoke, with a chain of thoughts proceeding from the forgotten flowers. Behind artichoke there is concealed on the one hand a recollection of Italy, and on the other a reminiscence of a childhood scene in which I first formed my connection with books, which has since grown so intimate. Botanical, then, is a veritable nucleus, the centre for the dream of many trains of thoughts, which, I may assure the reader, were correctly and justly brought into relation to one another in the conversation referred to. Here we find ourselves in a thought factory, in which, as in the weaver's masterpiece, one tread moves thousands of threads, the little shuttles fly back and forth, the threads flow on unseen, one stroke ties thousands of knots. Monograph, in the dream, again, has a bearing upon two subjects, the one-sidedness of my studies and the costliness of my hobbies. The impression is gained from this first investigation that the elements botanical and monograph have been accepted in the dream content because they were able to show the most extensive connection with the dream thoughts and thus represent nuclei in which a great number of dream thoughts come together, and because they have manifold significance for the dream interpretation. The fact upon which this explanation is based may be expressed in another form. Every element of the dream content turns out to be overdetermined. That is, it enjoys a manifold representation of the dream thoughts. We shall learn more by testing the remaining component parts of the dream as to their occurrence in the dream thoughts. The colored plate refers, cf. The analysis on page 145, to a new subject, the criticism passed upon my work by colleagues, and to a subject already represented in the dream, my hobbies, and also to a childish recollection in which I pulled to pieces the book with the colored plates. The dried specimen of the plant relates to an experience at the gymnasium centering about and particularly emphasizing the herbarium. Thus I see what sort of relation exists between the dream content and dream thoughts. Not only do the elements of the dream have a manifold determination in the dream thoughts, but the individual dream thoughts are represented in the dream by many elements. Starting from an element of the dream, the path of associations leads to a number of dream thoughts, and from a dream thought to several elements of the dream. The formation of the dream does not, therefore, take place in such fashion that a single one of the dream thoughts, or a group of them, furnishes the dream content with an abridgment as its representative therein, and that then another dream thought furnishes another abridgment as its representative, somewhat as popular representatives are elected from among the people, but the whole mass of the dream thoughts is subjected to a certain elaboration, in the course of which those elements that receive the greatest and completest support stand out in relief, analogous, perhaps, to election by scrutin de liste. Whatever dream I may subject to such dismemberment, I always find the same fundamental principle confirmed, that the dream elements are constructed from the entire mass of the dream thoughts, and that every one of them appears in relation to the dream thoughts to have a multiple determination. It is certainly not out of place to demonstrate this relation of the dream content to the dream thoughts by means of a fresh example, which is distinguished by a particularly artful intertwining of reciprocal relations. The dream is that of a patient whom I am treating for claustrophobia, fear in enclosed spaces. It will soon become evident why I feel myself called upon to entitle this exceptionally intellectual piece of dream activity in the following manner. 2. A Beautiful Dream. The dreamer is riding with much company to X Street, where there is a modest roadhouse, which is not the fact. A theatrical performance is being given in its rooms. He is first audience, then actor. Finally, the company is told to change the